The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Ollie Pimlott, Paddy Aspel and Craig Forsyth in the studio. We have jumping on the domestic front, Plumpton and Utoxeter playing host to a couple of national hunt meetings. We've also got racing over the Irish Sea as well. Good card there, which includes three Group 3s and a Group 2, the feature race being the Beresford Stakes. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Andrew Mount. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good, thanks, Mark. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
Yeah, looking very trim there. Have you been
working out? You're too kind. Yes, but you wouldn't have said that if I hadn't told you that 3 minutes ago.
I just thought I'd embarrass you there. And for those without use of a webcam, Mark's gone a little bit red now.
Yes, thank you. Thankfully, they can't see what I look like, so I can pretend that I'm chiselled and it's all good going forward. Anyway, enough of that. We're going to talk about some of the results from Saturday's action. Look back at the feature races at both Newbury and Newmarket, including a Cesarewitch trial at Newmarket and the Millreef at Newbury. We're also going to have a little chat about some of the news, and then we'll get Andrew's nap and next best for Sunday's action. Just spinning through the news very quickly, Andrew. Bit of news for the Cambridgeshire. Kryptos, who is quite prominent in the market, is going to miss the race,
right?
Having suffered a minor setback, so John Berry's runner won't take part. That's just a bit of news with regards to that. So
that's a shame. But we've just seen the Cesarewitch trial at Newmarket as we're recording this podcast, and that was an excellent race with 20-odd runners going to post, and Jumps trainers dominated, or certainly dual-purpose yards, with Alan King having a 1-2 courtesy of Who Dares Wins, the 7-1 shot, who beat the favourite Coeur de Lion into second. Shrewd finishing third for Ian Jardine. So all should be turning up in the main event in a couple of weeks' time, I imagine.
Yes. Who Dares Wins, the winner of the Cesarewitch trial there at Newmarket. I'm just trying to think, Alan King, did he win the Cesarewitch with Ocean last year?
Yes, I believe he's certainly won it recently, hasn't he?
Yeah.
We've had lots of big prize winners as well, trained by Jumps orientated yards, such as Nicky Henderson's.
He won it with Grimetti. Ocean. Yeah.
Maybe you were just predicting the future there.
Maybe I was. Yeah.
Maybe you just tipped a 50-1 winner to all the listeners.
Entirely by accident. But as you say, Jumps trainers do very well in that. Philip Hobbs has won it recently as well. Nicky Henderson a few years ago. So. Seen the same kind of themes this time around. We'll look at the Millreef as well, which was the feature race from Newbury in just a moment or two. But other news stories just to quickly touch on as well. Simple Verse has been retired. She's been retired, the classic winner. Grand old filly, wasn't she? She's been retired after, I think it was after Saturday. And just a bit of news about the Air Gold Cup has been rescheduled to Haydock next Saturday. So
yeah, because Simple Verse won the Ledger a couple of years ago. And beating Bondi Beach. Disqualified and placed second, later reinstated as the winner in a very controversial renewal.
So we want to hear again. Let's have a look at the Millreef. Big race on the card at Newbury on Saturday. Won by James Garfield, beating Invincible Army and Nebo. I had a look at James Garfield. This classic after timing as well, of course. He's actually gone and done the business in the end in the race under Frankie Dettori, winner for George Scott, big winner for the yard as well. So good to see that kind of thing happening.
That's right, and it seems whatever happens in two-year-old races of late, it gives a boost to Expert Eye and his chance in the 2,000 guineas next year, because James Garfield was fourth to Expert Eye at Goodwood over seven.
Yep.
Last time out, just pipped in the Acom over seven. Behind Wells Fargo, and the return to six in a strongly run race clearly suited, because James Garfield broke well, was actually up there in the early stages, but by the time the front runners sort of started taking each other on, he dropped back to the rear of the field, but came through very smoothly to win well by 3/4 of a length from the hampered Invincible Army. I still don't think Invincible Army would have got there had that one not had to be switched on a couple of occasions. And Nebo also ran a nice race back in third. And the three of those were well clear, pulling 3.5 lengths clear of the fourth, Alansky. So the form could work out, although I'm not sure James Garfield is going to be up to the standard of the last two winners. Harry Angel took this last year and Ribchester 2 years ago.
Yeah, they turned out to be pretty good, didn't they, in the end. You mentioned the link there to Expert Eye. He seems to be getting linked to form left, right and centre over the past few weeks. People already talking about him being the Guineas winner for next year. I know it's very early to be saying those kind of things, but as it stands at the moment, is he the best two-year-old we've seen looking ahead to next year?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's rare for Sir Michael Stout to have a first-time-out two-year-old winner. And, of course, Expert Eye was a 6-1 shot when winning well at Newbury on debut. And then, of course, hacked up at Goodwood in that Group 2 Vintage Stakes. Zaman, the runner-up, hasn't raced yet since then. But Mildenberger, the third, has won since. And, of course, James Garfield's further boosted the form today.
Expert Eye, the 4-1 favourite at the moment with us here at William Hill for the 2000 Guineas. Gustav Klimt is 6-1, 12-1. Verbal Dexterity, 16-1 for Emirati and Massar. The Pentagon is 16-1 as well, and 25s are bigger for the others. I was going to try and make some kind of joke about Verbal Dexterity being a talking horse.
Oh, that's good, yeah. You could have done that. I'd have laughed.
Yeah, the trouble I have with telling jokes is I explain what I was going to do with the joke before actually telling the joke. So that's
another mistake is to say, oh, this will kill you. This is brilliant. You're going to love this joke. Give it too much build-up.
Yeah. That's the Guineas market anyway for next year. Anything else on your mind before we get stuck into Sunday's action?
No, just the disappointment with the William Hill Air Gold Cup meeting being cancelled. One of my favourite races of the season, the Air Gold Cup.
Yeah.
And I have fond memories of having a 5 each way on Joveworth at 50-1, going back almost 30 years now. So
really?
Makes me feel old.
30 years ago, what did I back? Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't born. Mm. Just
niche your daddy's pants.
Okay. Apparently, yeah, by the way, completely foxed by the waterlogging. They don't understand why it happened.
No, someone's tunnelling.
Yeah.
And taking a wrong turn.
Yep. So it will be back there next year. It will be the William Hill Air Gold Cup at Air next year as well. Hopefully all being well. Let's move on from that, though. Let's have a look at Sunday's action. We've got racing coming up over the obstacles at Plumpton and Utoxeter, as I mentioned, on the domestic front. But Andrew's going to focus on some of the top-class stuff that we've got. At Nace on Sunday, we've got three Group 3s, one of them for the fillies, that's the CL and MF Weld Park Stakes. We've got the Loch Brown Stakes and the Renaissance Stakes as well. And we've also got the Beresford, which is a Group 2 contest. The first race that Andrew has picked out is the 4 o'clock, that's the Renaissance Stakes, a 6 furlong contest, Group 3, and we've got a field of 11 set to go to post for this one. I imagine Quiet Reflection will be somewhere near the top of the market. She's a dual Group 1 winner, Andrew. She's running in a Group 3, and in conditions on Sunday that should be far more suited than a reappearance.
That's right, because this time last year, she beat the Tin Man on soft ground in the Sprint Cup, a Group 1 contest at Haydock. And after that, you know, she was a little bit disappointing at Ascot, but that was in the Champion Sprint Stakes, so when the Tin Men reversed the form. But that was the end of a long, hard season and was sort of easily forgiven. She only had one run this term. That was back at Haydock in May. 5 furlongs, a trip that would have been on the sharp side, and unofficially firm ground. It was quite surprising to a lot of people that she actually ran that day. And, you know, wasn't entirely disgraced after missing the break and meeting with trouble, going down by 5 lengths behind Priceless. But, that clearly produced problems, and she hasn't been seen since. But the fact that they've shipped her over to Ireland for her next start suggests that all is well with her physically. She's got the soft ground in her favour. She's back up to 6 furlongs. She's down in grade to Group 3 level. And although she's carrying a penalty, I think she'll be hard to beat here. She's run about the 2-1 mark, I think. The one I like as the danger and perhaps for the forecast is Downforce, who was just touched off by Tommy Taylor on good to soft ground in a York listed race last time. That ground would have been plenty lively enough for Downforce. He really needs to get his toe in. And when you just look at his sprint record on soft or heavy ground, it's extremely encouraging. And he's had sort of wins on heavy ground at Cork this year, last year at the Curragh on yielding to soft ground. Tends to peak in the spring and autumn, so with conditions to suit, Downforce the danger. But Quiet Reflection, the main selection.
Quiet Reflection then, the pick for Andrew with Downforce possibly to follow her home on Sunday. It's quite a rarity that we're mentioning a group race over in Ireland And we haven't actually mentioned either of the Aidan O'Brien runners. Could you see Alphabet or Cougar Mountain getting involved?
I tend to...
Or Peace Envoy, in fact, he's got three in the race.
I mean, my modus operandi with Irish group sprints is to favour the British raiders, who tend to do much better than their Irish counterparts, and also look beyond the Aidan O'Brien runners. So, yeah, I wasn't usually keen on Alphabet, the three-year-old, who was second to Caravaggio over five furlongs last time on similarly soft ground. 50-1 shot that day, only beaten a length. But she has just won once from 13 starts, and that was a Nace maiden back in March. So not for me, given that profile.
Fair enough. It's quite a reflection then for Andrew in the 4 o'clock at Nace. So we move on to the 4:30 next. This is a 5 furlong handicap, €50,000 handicap as well. 13 runners to take their place in the lineup here. It looks like it's going to be a fairly open affair. We've got British Raiders in there as well, the likes of Monsieur Joe for Paul Midgley and such. What do you make of the race?
Who do you like in that? Interesting race. This one's normally run at the Curragh, and we've got the last two winners featuring here as well, and both are on my shortlist. Tyleary Wonder won this for his old yard 2 years ago when it was staged at the Curragh. And that day he was drawn on the outside of the field in stall 1 of 14. Tyleary Wonder's a funny horse. He doesn't like to be around other runners. He tends to do well when he's drawn on the wing, on one extreme or the other. Now, last time out at Doncaster, I was quite keen on him because he was drawn near the rail. I thought he might be able to make the running. But he did attempt to, but unfortunately there was a very strong headwind that day, plus the stand side of the track where he raced featured the slowest ground, so he finished down the field in 10th place. But I think you can draw a line through that. He was also poorly drawn when 10th to stablemate Desert Law, again at Doncaster the time before. And from stall one, if they don't congregate towards that far side rail, then I think Tyleary Wonder could go well. But he'd only be a saver. And the one I'm going to take him on with is number two, Tithonus. Now this one has really caught the eye from poor draws the last twice. Now, last time out at the Curragh, this one ran behind Ice Age in a big field premier handicap. 22 runners that day over 6 furlongs on soft ground. Now, there's a massive bias towards the standside rail to the high numbers. The first three home drawn in stall 19, 18 and 17. Now, Tithonus finished fourth from stall 9, doing best of those to be drawn in single figures. And I think you can upgrade that effort. And a similar story at York the time before, over the 5.5 furlong trip when finishing fifth to Desert Law. You had to be low that day. The first four drawn 8, 5, 2 and 9. Tithonus was stuck out wide in stall 16 and did really well to finish fifth. So assuming there's no draw bias, and it's there hasn't really been one at Nace this season, coming out of stall 7 in the middle of the 13 runners, gives Killian Hennessy options as to go, you know, stay straight or go one side or the other. I think Tithonus could be hard to peg back here.
Tithonus, the selection for Andrew then in that 4:30 at Nace on Sunday. I used to think that was pronounced Titanus, as in the disorder where you get a ringing,
yes,
in your ears.
I suffer from that, so right. But then I sympathise.
But then I googled it, thinking it would come up saying it's that. And Tithonus, or Tithonus, is actually a part of Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, I was the lover of Eos, goddess of the dawn.
So you could have told me that and without telling me the bit about Googling it, and I would have believed you and thought you were a fountain of Greek knowledge.
Yeah, but then if you ask me any follow-up questions, I wouldn't have the answers. Yeah. Yeah. And also the fact that I only did it because I thought it was the ringing in my ears. Yeah. But there you go. Tithonus, the selection for Andrew in the 4:30.
Moving swiftly on.
Yes. Do you have any opinion in the Beresford, by the way, just while we're on the subject of Nace? It's only a 5-runner affair, Group 2 contest, where Saxon Warrior probably will be up there towards the head of the market, a rare Aidan O'Brien first-time-out winner.
Yeah, hard to get away from the favourite, I'm afraid. It's going to be odds-on, I think, Saxon Warrior. And as you say, O'Brien's generally improved markedly for their first outing, so the fact that this one was up to winning and winning impressively at the Curragh by more than 3 lengths when an 8-1 shot in August, I think, is going to take all the beating here.
Okay. More on that on Sunday on the show on William Hill Racing Radio. But in terms of Andrew's selections, it's Tithonus in the 4:30 and in the 4 o'clock he goes with. Quiet Reflection, if you had to choose a preference of those, say Nap and Next Best, or which one you fancied most strongly, which would you you choose?
I'd go for Tithonus because it's going to be the bigger price of the pair. Yeah, just looking at the Beresford Stakes, which we were just talking about, Aidan O'Brien's won this for the last 6 years. And of those six winners, four were odds-on favourites. But he also won it with 14-1 shot Port Douglas in 2015. So might be also worth giving the second and third string a second look there.
Yeah, he's got three of the five, so he's got a pretty decent chance of landing it again as well.
Yeah, if you can get evens, the Aidan O'Brien tricasters, yeah, probably not a bad bet.
It's not at all. Good stuff. That's the thoughts of Andrew Mountain then on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Ollie, Paddy and Craig in the studio. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you.
And the meetings at Plumpton, Utoxeter and Nace. Do tune in for that action. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.